Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Well, here we are starting a brand new series called God is Able. And this is a series about getting a revelation of the greatness and goodness and bigness of God in regards specifically to our finances. So God giving, releasing finances and letting go is a trust thing. What do we ultimately trust? If we have trust issues, our fists, our grip on things, on money and things that present a sense of security will get tight. And sometimes if we don't have a revelation of that God is able, that we grip tightly on things that promise security but can't deliver, and we need to get a revelation on God, and that our ultimate faith and surrender needs to be put into Him, because He is the true promise giver. His word is faithful. He delivers every time, and He is the only one that can truly deliver on what is promised. All hope is found, my Bible says, in Jesus and Jesus alone. Somebody give God some praise. Amen. Amen. So turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, and what I'm talking about today, and I just want to give a huge shout out to the North location, loving North right now, so good, and what's happening in the last couple of weeks in that location and seeing so many people saved, meeting so many new people, and it's very exciting times, and so we're having All In up in the North area. Got to keep just toiling the ground up there, and I'm excited. I believe this Thursday is going to be a Thursday of breakthrough. So if you, even if you're not on team, just come up, worship with us, and I believe that this September is a fresh beginning, a turning of the page in our church, and I believe that what we can do is we can forget the former things, we can put the past behind us, and we can start to believe strong for the future, and I'm going to be screaming and hollering and coaching you on Thursday to take a hold of breakthrough, to make a decision on breakthrough. Isn't that exciting? So you should come on Thursday. So Matthew chapter 6, who's there? Nobody. All right. Fantastic. All right. So today, what I'm going to be doing is preaching about tithing and how tithing repositions worry. Now, here's the thing. The reason I tell you that title straight out is because there is like an assignment. People get bothered by the whole tithe thing, and tithing gets ignored, attacked, and disputed, and you know there's tension around it, and it's because when tithing represents something, and it represents our worship, and it represents who we serve, and there is always going to be a fight against that. And it matters. And so, listen, I'm not going to go into it fully, but tithing, so some people say, you know, the law is abolished through Jesus Christ, but tithing was before the law. It was before the Abrahamic covenant, it was before the Mosaic covenant, which is the law, and it was way earlier. Abraham talked about it in the Bible before the law even existed, and then later confirmed in Matthew with Jesus. Actually, what Jesus says is that tithing is a bare minimum. So tithing is like, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel when it comes to worship, but our lives now are what we're doing on Thursday, which is like hashtag all in. And so we kind of find ourselves like working away from it, like it's uncomfortable. We don't like this. This is something we don't want to listen to it when we hear that the message is about to be preached on this in church. That moment earlier in the service, it kind of happens every week, but it's like the part that we want to just pass on by. And I believe that the enemy is exactly the same in his ways that he attacks us and wants us to live less than the life that God has for us. And so, here's the thing: is that God's best for us comes when we fully surrender. And the enemy is always doing the same thing. He's always trying to rob us in our lives. And he does it through this trickery that says that God is trying to rob us. And so this thought where the enemy's trying to like flip upside down the promises of God. He did it with Eve at the tree. He said, you know, if you eat this, you will not surely die. This is actually where you're going to have life. But God said the opposite thing. And so the enemy is always trying to rob us. And when we're talking about breakthrough and talking about going to the next level in regards to our finances or going to the next level in regards to our worry around money, we have to talk about tithing because tithing repositions worry. Okay, so it's easy to worry about money. It is. Of all the things, you know, they've done studies when it comes to depression and anxiety, and so much of it stems out of finances. So let's read Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34 says this, and this talks about the worry when it comes around money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Come on, don't worry about your life. You know, that's easier said than done. What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. I love this. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? It's like Jesus is saying there's so much more to live for. Look at the birds of the air, and then he gives us examples of how good God is. They don't sow nor reap nor store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not so much more valuable than they? Verse 27, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour or any stature to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? So here's another example. See the flowers of the field? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor, and he was described as the head above the rest. So not even Solomon, who's the head above the rest in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. And this isn't talking about literal clothes. This is talking about his countenance and composure and ability to feel like the head and not the tail when you walk through life. But when we worry, it's like claustrophobic. It makes us feel small and we're not walking strong in life. And it's not even just in regards to our money, that when we're worrying about one thing, it stems into everything, into our relationships, in our health, and we live motivated by fear. So we hoard instead of feeling open and generous and full of life and full of God and clothed with the things of Christ. So, verse 30, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field and the flowers, which is here today and gone tomorrow and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans, the unbelievers, worry about all these things. Or another version says that their minds are dominated with these thinking. And when Christians are in church and our thinking is dominated with the same thoughts that people that don't know God, they're thinking, when it's the same, that bothers us. That should bother us. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. God is able. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself each day. Somebody say day. Today has enough trouble of its own. Worry is a curse. And in Malachi chapter 3, it says that we are accursed if we don't tithe. It says, you're under a curse. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there will be food in the house. The tithe is three things. It's 10%. It's not 9%, 8%, 7%, 6%. It's 10%. It's in the house that you worship in the house of God, the house that feeds you. It's not giving to charity. It's bringing it to church. And it's doing it first. It's not leaving it to the last because we never get around to it. It's doing it first. That's the tithe. And it says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see that I will not throw open the floodgates. I love that it's not like, you know, inch open the floodgates. It's like, I'm going to throw this thing open for you. And I'm not talking about prosperity gospel for anyone that's going there in their head right now. All right? Work with me today. Because I'm talking about our breakthrough, our best. God's best life for us is not to live in worry. And so pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring a crop, so do not worry about that stuff. The vines in your fields will not drop fruit before they're ripe. You won't work and then not experience the fruit from it, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. It's easy to worry about money. Listen, like, you know, I remember the time when tithing became real in my life and I started to practice it. It wasn't like, you know, that God opened up heaven and then all of a sudden there was a moment where I just felt like this motivation to just give 10%. What it was is that I was so bothered by my current existence, and I'm not talking about not having nice things. I'm talking about the current existence of my mind, my thinking, the ups and downs, the worry to paycheck and the concerns and the domination of this thinking, the domination of my mind, the domination of my internal world, that it was gripping me in a way that I knew that, well, I had this gut sense that this wasn't God's best for my life. And so, you know, for my 18th birthday, I got given some money and I spent this money on a car, it was a Mazda. And I remember driving it up north in Australia, 10 hours on this missions trip, where at one point we were even praying that gas would like fill the car because, you know, we were just big believers when it came to the things of God. And when we were there, you know, this car just was failing with everything. And, you know, I'm on this missions trip out, you know, to preach the gospel, to see people receive the miraculous and to do the things of God and to walk the things of God in my life. But this stupid car was consuming all my concern. So when we drive there, the thing just fell apart. The timing chain went, the head gasket blew, and I had to take it to this mechanic who I didn't even know. And so I think he knew that, so he just wrote up this bill and added everything else. You need new windshield wipers, you need a new roof, you need new wheels, you basically need a new car. Here's your bill, $20 million. And, you know, so this car, you know, which started kind of new in my hands, just fell apart. Then later, you know, I got rid of it, sold it for basically nothing. And then I bought a car off a friend that was way older. And, you know, it was a Toyota Camry. It was red. It was a wagon. We call it a wagon. I don't know what you call that here. But, I bought it off a friend. His name was Ruben. Ruben, that red car. And, you know, you'd lift up the tailgate and the tailgate sounded like Chewbacca. It went, or like, you know, it was like weird. And so, and the thing just had rust everywhere, 300,000 kilometers on the clock, and drove it for a bit. And, you know, and then just, you know, we decided to move up to Queensland. And so I got given this trailer to take my stuff up to Queensland with me in this trailer. It was a free gift. It wasn't registered, and I managed to get it registered even though it was rusted all the way through. I had to put plywood on the bottom just so my stuff wouldn't fall through on the road. And so I'm just thinking about like trying to live out the calling of God on my life, and I'm literally driving a trailer, and we named the trailer, Jess and I named the trailer Rusty. So Ruben and Rusty and Sam were on a journey. And I was so bothered at this time in my life because the Bible says, you know, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth or rust destroy. I'm literally looking back at moths and rust. Like my life, and I'm like, it's bothering me and concerning me, and it's like nothing was working. Things were going backwards. And, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I wanted or felt the need or was coveting like nicer things. I was just like, what is going on in my life that so much of my concern is devoted to these stupid things, but I felt the call in my life to something greater and I couldn't get it right. And God said, tithe. God said, tithe. We will never be free from worry if we try everything in human effort first. And that was the picture of my life. Everything was in human effort first. Men and women in Toronto build multi-million dollar enterprises out of human effort. And then at the end of everything, to see this person still plaguing with worry, still worried about life, even though they have everything. Prosperity in the kingdom is not about the outward appearance. Some of the poorest people in the world are wearing $1,000 business suits. Prosperity in the kingdom is obeying God and knowing that you're pleasing your Heavenly Father and walking out the plan and calling of God on your life and living for eternity. And if things come and go, and if you have nice things, it's kind of like a side issue. It's not even a big deal, but knowing that everything in our life serves God. I'm talking about being free from worry. And I'm talking about that tithing. So number one, the purpose of tithing is to put God first. It's a priority thing. Say priority. So I was given a 1 ounce gold nugget by my grandmother, and I was holding on to this thing. I was gripping this thing because, and I was watching the stock market of what a 1 ounce gold nugget was worth. At the time, it was about $300 US. Now, like a 1 ounce gold nugget is worth, you know, a bunch more than that. I think it's somewhere like $1,500 US. I don't know. I haven't checked it for ages because my concern isn't there. I'm like checking God. And so I felt this thing, and my grandmother gave it to me to say, you know, invest with this and use it wisely. And there was a moment where I had a revelation from God to give God my first, and I knew that the wisest, greatest investment that I could do was to release it and giving it in the offering. And so I did. So at this moment in my life, I let go of this human strength, of this thing that represented human strength. And it was super difficult because I was literally scraping the bottom of the barrel to try and get some gas in my car and trying to do the things of God. But this revelation that God is able, that He is bigger, that He is worthy, and that I can give Him all my trust and all my strength. And so first, it's not a moment though, and it's a lifestyle. So after releasing this thing, now I needed to start the practice and this new revolving habit of giving a tenth first. That as blessing from God came in, I would take the tenth off the top of that and dedicate it to Him. As blessing would come in, I'd take the tenth and dedicate it to Him. And so I was speaking to someone, and they were, you know, frustrated. This is just recently, frustrated in life. Just things were falling apart, you know, and they said this. They like, listen, I give big amounts to the church. What's the problem? You know, I'm a Christian. I'm good. I serve on team. What's going on? Seems like things used to be better than what they are now. Work is frustrating me. Investments are failing. And the most important thing to this person's world was my relationships are falling apart. And I just said nicely and politely, I just said, listen, you give and you're very generous, but do you tithe? Because tithing isn't generosity. And we think that God is impressed by, He doesn't need our generosity. He needs our devotion. And it's completely different. He needs to be Lord in our life. So we give these amounts randomly, but we do not practice first. Somebody say first. First is seeking Him, it's intention. And there are people even that aren't in church that have given, like, you know, I, as someone that, you know, has helped me outside the church, has liked what we do around the church and has given large amounts to the church. But this person's life, I speak to them, Jesus isn't Lord of their life. They can still give large amounts to the church, but whatever, it doesn't matter. The deal of things shifting and breakthrough changing in this person's life is the ability for them to align with God being Lord. Somebody say alignment. This is like someone saying, I've read my Bible a bunch lately. Why is life not working for me? Well, devotion is more about consistent alignment with what we do with what the Word tells us. So reading the Bible a bunch lately doesn't change anything. Obeying the Bible consistently changes everything. Come on. Come on. So I'm talking about devotion, adherence, loyalty, faithfulness, commitment, obedience. This is how the tithe changes things in our world, because we're okay to come and worship God out of emotion, but God is calling for our devotion, and I meant to make that rhyme. We come to God and we're like, come down to the altar call and change my life. And He's like, stop coming to the altar call and just start being devoted. We want these big moments with God to totally change our life, but we as a church are in the we're in the practice of putting God first. Jess and I literally calculate. We get a calculator. It's accounting. That doesn't sound like fun, you know, hypey, you know, people accuse us of being hypey, but you know, tithing is not hype. And then when we talk about tithing, people just want to be hypey. No, we put God first daily. We're obedient. We surrender. We put God first daily by reading the word daily. As a church, we put God first weekly. Sunday is the first day of the week, and we come to church and we put God first in that. We put God first yearly with 21 days of prayer and fasting at the beginning of the year. And you're like, Sam, listen, if I was to do this, that would literally mean rearranging my whole life. What do you think repentance is? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because maybe life isn't working because what we're trying to do is we're trying to attach Jesus to the ways that Jesus wants us free from. So tithing forces us to be intentional, to think first. And as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you don't have to worry about all these other things. As you lose your life, you find it. Tithing for the person that has never got a revelation of tithing, first get a revelation that God is able and that you can surrender your life to him, and then you will have no problem reprioritizing your world to obey him. Amen. Somebody give God some praise. Amen. So seeking first the kingdom is fearing God. Proverbs 19 verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. That means devotion to God leads to life. Not being afraid of God, that means I want to align my life to God leads to life. So one sleep may be satisfied. How many people would love some satisfied sleep? Fear God. Untouched by evil. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those. No, it says every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. So tithing is a way that we say, God, I know that I'm tempted to use my money other ways, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this first tenth, and it's going to come and knock on the door of heaven and say, see Sam's life, see Sam and Jess's family. This is me, hello, representing that they take refuge in you. And then every word of God is tested and a shield forms around our life that your crops won't fall from the vine, that everything is protected. Just exercise the word. Try it in your life. The only person that has issue with this is the person that has issue with tithing. Don't have issue with something that you haven't tried, that you haven't tested, that you haven't practiced it. Practice it for 6 months and see if I'm lying. Practice it with faith and go for it. The fruit of this is confidence, reassurance, a shield, a key to an open heaven, positioning. Because God set it up this way, there's a God blessing attached to it. Number two, tithing repositions our faith. Tithing repositions our faith. So fear makes us hold on and faith causes us to let go. You know, 10% doesn't sound like much until you're making money. Or until the bills come in. So first, when Jess and I, we've sold a couple of houses in our life. When we sold the first house, we took the profit margin of that house because we always give to God before we give to the government. If I have to pay dividends to the government, I'm going to pay tithe to God first. And so the first house, we sold it, and it was like a lot. 10% of the profit margin that we made on that house sale was $5,000, and giving that was like huge. The last house that we sold, I didn't want to tithe. I didn't want to tithe the first time. I didn't want to tithe the second time. It was $27,000. And that feeling is like, and then that moment where you're like, man, I need this money. And Jess and I would even say that to each other, man, we could really use this. What I could use more than that $27,000 check is I could use the security and the surrender of my life to Jesus Christ. So yeah, what I could use more is getting myself out of human strength and putting myself into surrender before God. If we do this as a people, if we do this across Toronto, I know that windows of heaven will open up across this city and lives will be changed forever. Also, tithing, when it repositions our faith, it lifts our eyes to something greater. Worry causes us to think small. It causes us to look down at our feet and worry about the next step and worry about the next payment and worry about that. And we are worrying about this thing. What tithing does is tithing, when where your treasure is, your money is also. So when you direct finances towards God, eyes are lifted and you get an eternal perspective. So what matters to God starts to matter to us. And what matters to us no longer matters to us because God's taking care of it. So I love in Romans chapter 10, Paul says this. He says, it's my heart's desire that God's people will turn to him and be saved. Our heart's desire when we live in human strength is our heart's desires. But when we start to position our faith in God and he gives us an eternal perspective, we start to say the same thing. The desires of my heart is that more and more people will come to faith in God and that they will get saved. That I am so grateful that this money is used for the expansion of the kingdom and for the salvation of humanity. Amen. And God says, listen, I'm never going to let you down. It's like when he says, test me in this, it's not some sort of like, you know, oh, like twist God's arm thing. When God says, test me in this, it's like God's begging us to surrender to him so that he can give us the life that he has for us. He's like, just try, come on, just try me. Stop listening to the anxieties. Just give me the opportunity. That's what I hear, like, out of God's heart. He's like, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Like, look at anything around. Like, I'm looking after them, but I love you so much more than the sparrow. Just let me give you the opportunity that, give me the opportunity that I can look after you. You know, birds still work. They don't just sit there in their nests and just chirp before God and kind of eat Doritos and like wait for God to do it. No, birds still go and get twigs and they go and they still do stuff. What I'm not talking about is I'm not talking about passive Christianity, sitting on the couch and waiting for God to just be this ultimate, you know, prosperity provider in heaven. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about doing due diligence, being faithful, working, but not worrying. I'm talking about being free of the pressures and worries and anxieties of life. He says that, look at the flower, how I dress the flower, so much better than King Solomon. The blessing and favor of God is the greatest clothing that we can ever wear. The clothing of humanity is worry, anxiety, fear, and it's not God's spirit for our lives. Are you someone that walks around bothered? Are you someone that, you know, if people look at the countenance in your life, do you represent hope in God, or do you walk around depressed? What is the clothing of your life? What do people see when they look at you? Are you God's best marketing tool, or are you marketing humanity? If you come to church and you read the Bible and you obey and you apply scripture and you let it work in your life, your countenance changes. You smile more. Christians ought to be the happiest people on the planet. Christians ought to be the most not carefree, just care directed. That our ultimate care is something so much bigger, that our eyes are lifted so much higher than caring for what's right in front of humans' faces. Amen. Number three, and I'll get the keys up. So all that God's calling us to do here in Matthew chapter 6 is not worry about tomorrow and be faithful with today. Worry about today, because today bears enough trouble of its own. You know, the trouble of today is whether we're going to live by ourselves for ourselves, or we're going to live by God for God. That's the trouble of today. The trouble of today is, are we going to keep doing it our way, or are we going to surrender and do it his way? The trouble of today is obedience. What is God asking us to do today? Don't have the intent to live for God tomorrow without obeying today. It's just an intention. But ask God, what shall I do? Right, I'm talking to the freelancer, I'm talking to the student, I'm talking to the retired person, I'm talking to the person that's got your normal, you know, 9 to 5 is not normal anymore. Normal's like, you know, 6 to 12, the following day. Because humans live in anxiety, we live in worry. Says, please test me on this. I'm trying to do something in your life and through your life. I think about Paul and Silas were in prison, and worry's like a prison. Worry's like it's like a curse that just keeps us concerned about things that God doesn't want us concerned about. You need to have anxiety, but you need to have anxiety that people are going to hell. You need to have care, but you need to care that people need Jesus, need God. We exist to connect people to God. That's what we're caring about. We don't leave church and then leave the preaching and leave everything that God cares for at church. We bring it into our lives all through the week. And Paul and Silas are in prison, and circumstances surrounding them look like something that they could very easily and justifiably complain about, be anxious about. What are we going to do? We're locked up. But they chose to praise. And tithing does that. You give to God and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to live off the leftover 90%, but I'm trusting you, God. And what God can do with that leftover 90% is so much more than what we could do in our own human strength with the full 100. We've seen that over and over and over again. So they start praising. The prison gates fly open and their freedom happened, but not only their freedom, the freedom of everybody around. When we tithe, it brings food into the house. And there is story after story after story after story, like we would have watched Jura's story today, of people that because we honor the house of God, because we are loving what God is doing in the city, and we're not trying to remove our responsibility as a Christian or trying to get out and get the blessing of God another way and try, we're just saying, God, how do you want me to live for today? What do you want me to do? And when we get this eternal vision and we see people's lives changing, 10% becomes seriously a non-issue. It shouldn't even need to be preached at church. That we're like, God, what else do you want? How else do you want? Like, because I've seen you feed the birds. I've seen you clothe the flowers. I've seen you bless my life. But it's not even about that. It's about Conan, who came to our church, didn't know God, went to a Following Jesus Connect group, and his life has changed. Now he's playing on the music team at our North Campus. I met his parents on the launch of North Campus. They had never come to church before, and they came because Conan, his life has changed. I'm talking about Kenesha. In a 12-month period of time, had a moment at a party, realizing there's got to be more to life than this. The following day, came to church, and then a year later, is now like heading up internships, basically bossing it around the place, just living for God. Life totally changed. Talking about Matthew, had no hope, didn't know what was, you know, what he was meant to live for. Googled church, saw C3. You know, tithing paid for that stuff. Comes to church, gives his life to Christ, now is serving on team, changed forever. Prodigals coming home, finding a place at the table, and then turning around and providing a place at the table for somebody else. It's all about connecting people to God. Let me pray for you today. If there is anybody here in this place or listening on video that just finds their life dominated, not with the things of eternity, not with the things of God, but the pressures of society, the pressures of life, finds himself losing sleep, finds himself plagued with worry. Lord God, I just pray for that person, that they would get the revelation to surrender to you. And that tithing is the beginning of that. It's the beginning of a person surrendered. It's putting works to our faith. We can say we're surrendered, but if we don't truly surrender through obedience, what really is that surrender? Lord God, it's not an issue. It's a joy to resource the house. It's a joy to give as an opportunity for somebody else to meet Jesus. So Lord God, I just pray right now, Lord God, that we would stop being distracted by the enemy's lies. And Lord, that a person wouldn't start tithing just because I'm saying so, but a person would start tithing because they're getting a revelation of living for you, that they're obeying your voice, Lord God. So I thank you, Jesus, for lives changed all around the city. I thank you, Jesus, for churches flourishing more than they ever have before. I thank you, Jesus, that our lives become a testimony of hope. Lord God, that when everybody else in the world that doesn't know you, when their lives are falling apart and they are looking for hope, that they can just look on a C3er, they can look on a Christian, they can look on a Jesus follower and say, oh my gosh, what do you have that I don't have? I need that. So Lord God, I thank you that you are faithful, that you are able. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, listen, just bow your head and close your eyes right now in this room. If you've never made a decision to ask Jesus into your life, today's the day. Make that decision. The first step of surrender is surrendering your heart to him. And if you've never made that decision, in a moment, I'm going to ask people to raise their hand. Maybe you've made that decision before, but for any number of reasons, you know that your life isn't right with God and you want to recommit your life to Jesus. And if that's you, when I ask, you too are going to raise up your hand. Or maybe you're someone and if you were to die, you would wonder if there would be a place for you in heaven. You're not sure. The Bible says is that Jesus is our assurance of salvation. So if you're one of those people here today, if you've never made a decision to invite Jesus into your heart and you want to do that, this is the first step to giving your life to God. Or if you're somebody and you know that you need to rededicate your life, today's the day. Don't let another moment go by without recommitting your life to Jesus. Or maybe you're someone and you just want the assurance found in salvation. Right now, with nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, just raise your hand up high and say, include me in this prayer.